Hello, I'm David Katz. I'm the Chief Information Security Officer for IBM's Cloud and SaaS Operations. I'm joined today by Chris Roberts. He's the Chief Security Architect for Calvio. Chris, thank you for joining me for part two of the series.
Thanks for having me again, David, for number two. Appreciate it.
So when we first started our earlier conversation, we just started touching on the use of deceptive technology. So really, as organizations build their information security program, at what stage and how should they be thinking about the use of deceptive technologies?
So I think there's a couple of different ways that organizations can use something like Calvio's technology. I think one of the ways is almost the baseline. In other words, a lot of organizations, as you're aware, especially the enterprise-grade organizations, are sitting there going, okay, you know, we have an information security program. We have potentially a maturity model. How effective is it? You know, that's always the biggest challenge inside IT and IT security, defining the, you know, the effectiveness of it, the return on the investment. So you take a look at something like this and go, okay, we have deployed this in potentially more interesting locations, you know, maybe non-territorial, non-domestic locations, maybe areas where intellectual property is held, maybe non-traditional deployments, something like IoT environments or something along those lines. And the ability very quickly to get some kind of a metric as to basically where you are. In other words, how often is this thing getting triggered? And the ability to detect false alarms on listings and false alerts is actually pretty sophisticated, which is kind of nice. So whatever comes through is something that needs to be looked at. Along the lines as well of going, okay, now we have the alerting mechanism in place. What do we actually do? How do we actually mature this? How do we actually, is it a human-based issue? Is it a technology-based issue? Is it a procedures, policies, controls-based issue? So it definitely gives you the ability to focus very quickly and very effectively.
So the technology is definitely interesting. And I see, you know, more and more we talk about kind of the defense in depth model and how organizations need to defend their perimeter, essentially, no matter where that perimeter is. But it's once you're into the cloud and into other, you know, IoT type devices, really, you know, you have to be able to protect your environment no matter where it lives. So as you start bringing in these types of deceptive technology, does it take a special skill set to operate this technology from a security point of view?
No. Well, I think some does. It's arguable that what the guys here at Calvio have built isn't going to require much insofar as sophistication from an end user. The nice thing about it is there's a bunch of PhDs and other genius type guys behind the scenes. We've got some pretty kick-ass guys inside of Calvio that have actually gone, okay, how do we make this as usable as possible? The logic being, as we all know, the guys in the NOC and the SOC and the IT guys that are eventually going to actually have to have their hands on this and monitoring this have 101 other things they have to look at. If they're going to have to spend weeks figuring out how this bloody thing works, it's going to sit on the shelf and gather dust. So part of it is you drop it in, the system is able to actually learn about its surroundings itself. Secondly, you can plug it into the event log monitoring tool and also any kind of tool that you use for asset management, and it can very quickly understand the environment that it has, you know, whether it's looking at a Linux environment, a Mac environment, a Windows environment, and various what flavors it's typically looking at. And it's able to build what it says is like, hi, these are the types of deceptions I think you should deploy, and then you can tune it from there. So it makes it a lot more intuitive.
That's a very interesting point, especially as we look to, you know, increase the maturity of our security programs by adding additional technology, just like along the lines of, you know, UBA is an additional enhancement from a technology point of view. But to really benefit from UBA, you need solid underpinnings of good identity program, good things like that to make sure that you're having a solid baseline. Do you require a solid baseline for this, or is the learning that capable that it can figure out and start ascertaining the potential environment?
Well, the nice thing about it is the learning is fairly capable. So as well as actually going into an environment and saying, hey, I've looked at your, you know, event log monitoring, be it Splunk or something else. I've looked at any asset management that you might have. By the way, I can also scan the network if you'll allow me to do it, and I can identify what systems are out there as well. And the nice thing about it is with something like this is it's not out there deploying full-on deception, honey, full-on heavyweight honey net virtual machines all over the damn place. What I love about how they've developed this is it's almost like three levels, which is really, really nice because it keeps your network bandwidth low and various other things, which in other words, you and I know very well that Telnet, SSH, and there's the top like eight protocols, port 80, port 22, 23, 21, 53 and a bunch of others are pretty prevalent in almost every single network that we see. So even deploying simple lures like that, where as me as an attacker, if I see an open FTP port, I'm going to go try and make friends with it. That doesn't require an entire heavyweight virtual machine. It requires basically a sensor that sits there, can respond correctly, and at which point now I've triggered an alert, even with something as simple as that, which makes it a huge amount of difference.
Now, are you seeing that certain organizations or certain industries are becoming the early adopters of this technology? And if you could talk about which industries you see that have been picking up on this first?
Yeah, there's a fair amount of traction inside the organization, insofar as something in with the financial side of the world, some inside the healthcare side of the world, definitely the high-tech side of the world. Part of the reason I'm kind of involved in this fairly extensively is my background with research inside, you know, IoT, transportation, vehicles, vehicle-to-vehicle communications, all that stuff. We're now picking up fairly extensively a lot of traction in that side. So in other words, perfect example would be any kind of vehicle or vehicular type of systems that are out there, being able to actually detect whether those are being attacked or whether they have any malicious stuff on them as well is huge, because that's a very, very distributed architecture that Acalvio has been able to actually crack the nut on that to solving it.
That's a great point. And I think, you know, more and more as you know, the world is ever more connected than it's ever been between the number of IoT devices that are out there. And with the holiday season upon us, that will grow even more. How else can tools like this help eliminate some of the potential for, you know, threats and the major attacks that we've been seeing?
Well, I think, I mean, as you probably see, and as you go and talk to organizations, many of the ones that I know I've worked with in the past as well, you walk in there and you say, so where's all your systems? And you get this, well, we think we know where all of our endpoints are, at which point you kind of cringe, shudder a little bit. And then if you don't know the entire attack surfaces, let alone the attack vectors, let alone the user training that happens once every X number of years, this at least gives a fighting chance to help you understand, or even not understand, at least give you a fighting chance to defend the perimeter and especially defend the internal architecture. I mean, a good example, I gave a presentation at RSA a little bit ago where we started attacking the corporation by basically breaking into the guy's home oven. And there's no way any kind of corporate technology would have noticed that. But you start looking at putting deception technology out at the perimeter and out at their end users and maybe their IoT devices and BYOD devices. All of a sudden, you might not find me sitting on the oven, but as soon as I've leapt into the, you know, the home network, I at least stand the chance of finding me there.
That's a great point. And as part of this deceptive technology, can you speak to any where it's decreased the time for detection within the regular networks?
Yeah, we've had some interesting deployments where we've, you know, have gone from the testing environment into the live environment, and all of a sudden it's lit up, not quite like a Christmas tree, but not far off of it, where you go, oh, yes, and here's where you're being hit now, at which point, you know, the IT guys are like, oh, I'll be back in a minute. So, yeah, we've definitely had some good eye-opening discussions and some actually eye-opening demos that way.
And as we talk more and more about, you know, the defense in depth, we talk about active defense. So in addition to the deceptive technologies that you guys are working on, are there any other things that organizations should consider about, you know, active defense or their organizations?
Yeah, let's talk about the intelligence, the threat intelligence side of the world, as well as potentially, you know, there's a lot of discussions around should we or should we not hack back. That's a very tough one. Threat intelligence itself is huge. It really helps an organization understand everything that's outside of their four walls. I think so many companies focus on what's going on inside their four walls. They tend to lose focus that so many of the attackers still come from outside. So understanding that landscape is huge, be it your supply chain, be it your vendors or your partners, be it the malicious guys, domestic or foreign. Getting a better handle on that, I think, is crucial. And then obviously, you know, with everything that's going on out there, understanding, can we hack back? Should we hack back? Do we have enough people to hack back? I mean, that's a huge landmine that I think needs a lot more discussion before companies go out there and try to actively deny IPs or deny systems or deny architectures or actually go out there and just trigger an attack against somebody without really getting a full understanding. It's a bit of a minefield that I'm not sure I really want to hit too badly at this moment.
No, I definitely agree with you on that. And, you know, the hack back decision, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to corporations, that's always a bad idea. At least that's my opinion anyway. But, you know, I think there's things that organizations really need to focus on is, do you have a complete understanding of your environment? Do you understand where your vulnerabilities are? Because there's, you know, basics that organizations really need to get right, let alone worry about, can you actually do attribution? Attribution is tough enough for law enforcement to do, let alone a single organization.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the biggest challenge we have, and you've probably seen the same thing. When you go in to try and do any kind of forensics or analysis, the chances of finding the smoking gun are minimal anyway. And then the chances of actually being able to attribute that to the right person are a challenge. I think the biggest frustration I still have doing the ethical hacking and going and doing pen testing assessments is we still haven't got the basics right. You know, when I can still walk in with a spreadsheet that has default user IDs and passwords for the ILO cards, for the switches, for the networks, for the printers, for the servers, and I can still break into the infrastructure, we need to get that stuff fixed first. And I think that's where the challenge comes as well, like the Calvio idea is, because organizations are still getting to grips with that. Putting something like this in place gives them the ability to focus on that, while the Calvio, kind of the deception tech, almost just sits there as cover fire, for want of a better way of looking at it, and helps them actually go, okay, we now have some good preventative, proactive eyes on our environment. Now let's get all the defaults and the users fixed, for crying out loud.
Exactly. And that's, you know, a lot of function of the human condition. So as a parting thought, as we get ready to wrap up, is there any insights that you can share with the group also on how do you increase the awareness overall of your organization to keep individuals from doing potentially bad things?
Oh, I mean, I think it's just the ongoing awareness training. I can't feel a better way of doing it. I mean, SANS has got some amazing courses. IBM's obviously got some amazing courses. There's so many organizations out there where instead of spending $20,000 on the next blinky blue flashy light from the firewall company, spend that $20,000 on, you know, ongoing awareness training, measurable training. I mean, that's probably the best thing to do, honestly.
Chris, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with me. I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Definitely, David. Thanks again for having me on.